Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. What do you know about volcanoes? I bet you know that lava comes out of volcanoes. But did you know that lava is melted rock? And before it makes its way to the Earth's surface, it's called magma? And while you might picture a volcano as a mountain on an island, did you know that most volcanoes are underwater? Volcanoes are a fascinating part of our natural world. And today we're going to spend some time learning about volcanoes from a true expert. Today's guest has been drawn to volcanoes ever since he was a kid playing video games.
I grew up playing video games. My parents let me play them a lot, and I still play them now. I love them. And there's a very well-known video game series called The Legend of Zelda. In one of these games called The Ocarina of Time, which came out when I was 10 years old, there's a volcano in it called Death Mountain, which is obviously a great name. Can't really pick a better name than that. It's full of like weird sentient lava, like flaming lizard creatures and monsters, and it's like really hollow on the inside, and it's nothing like a real volcano at all. But who cares? I was like, what? That's a thing? You know, growing up in the UK, you don't really think about volcanoes that much. I sort of wondered about this. I was like, oh, hold on. These exist in the real world, and jumped onto the internet as soon as I could and realized like, wow, there are volcanoes everywhere and they look amazing and they're the stuff of fantasy made real sort of thing. And really from that point onwards, I was like, that's it. I'm just going to do volcanoes somehow. I had no concept of what a job was or anything. Surely someone at least climbs fiery mountains and goes, oh, look, melty things.
This is Robin Andrews, and as you just heard, from his very first exposure to volcanoes, he felt completely drawn to learning more about them. Now he's an actual volcanologist, someone who studies volcanoes, and a science writer. He's dedicated to sharing the things he learns about volcanoes with the world, and he's learned a lot. One specific type of volcano that Robin likes to report on is a type of volcano that's tricky for us to see and know about. Underwater volcanoes.
Earth is really a planet of underwater volcanoes. You know, us surface dwellers only see a tiny portion of the planet, and it turns out the ocean is really good at hiding stuff. It's almost annoyingly good at hiding stuff. So everyone wanting to find the good stuff, which is at the bottom of the ocean, they have to send like robots to dive down and everything. But yeah, there are underwater volcanoes. If you add up the area, it's the same size of Russia and Europe combined. It's a really big part of the underwater oceans. And this rift system, which is mostly underwater, is 40,000 miles long. It arcs all the way around the planet. And yeah, you just have lava erupting all along this huge rift system. It's the world's longest chain of volcanoes.
That's incredible. It's hard to believe that there's a 40,000 mile long chain of volcanoes erupting on the ocean floor. But it's true. Islands all over the ocean are evidence of what happens when these underwater volcanoes explode.
The volcano is feeling a bit lonely under the ocean, and it erupts explosively enough. You can actually build islands up, like an island in the 60s just appeared off the coast of Iceland because the volcano erupted so furiously that it just built enough land to withstand the waves. The entire Hawaiian archipelago is volcanic in nature. You know, a lot of the land that we live on is built on a foundation of eruption. So the world would be a lot smaller without volcanoes. Very, very small, in fact. But even if these volcanoes just quietly and politely erupt underwater and we don't get to see them, they are home to all kinds of almost alien life. You have strange microbes that don't need sunlight. And you have animals that basically wait for, you know, big fish to swim through these plumes of toxic volcanic material. They die, the fish fall down, and then they just have dinner. They have a banquet sort of thing. So you even have sharks living inside active volcanoes, and scientists have no idea why they would want to do that. But clearly sharks like to live dangerously. Underwater volcanoes, like their surface counterparts, are equally destructive and constructive. You wouldn't want to live without them, but you don't want to get too close.
Robin also likes to debunk fears that people have about volcanoes, especially specific volcanoes called supervolcanoes.
The word supervolcano has got a weird reputation, and I got to think most people see, understandably, the idea of a supervolcano, the idea, you know, the most powerful volcano kind of you can get, as like nature's weapon of mass destruction. Like at some point it's just going to go off and we're all doomed. It's actually nowhere near as scary as that.
If volcanoes make you feel nervous, Robin has some interesting facts that will give us some comfort. One example of a supervolcano site is Yellowstone National Park, which you might have heard of or even visited before.
So a supervolcano like Yellowstone, all that means is, at some point in its existence, and these volcanoes have existed for like millions of years, it's created an eruption that's launched like 240 cubic miles of volcanic matter into the sky, which is a lot. Like, I'm not gonna, like, these eruptions are big. These are the sort of things that if it was gonna happen, scientists would be running around screaming, waving their arms, you know. But they're not doing that because they're not particularly worried about the sort of thing, because these events are so infrequent that, you know, most of the time Yellowstone has just erupted a bit of lava, or there's been a little hydrothermal explosion, like, you know, with this pressurized water. So Yellowstone has had two super eruptions in the last 2.1 million years.
So just because Yellowstone is a supervolcano, it doesn't mean that it's going to be having a big explosion anytime soon. In fact, as long as humans have been on the planet, there's only been one supervolcano explosion from a volcano called Lake Toba in the country Indonesia.
25,000 years ago in Indonesia, there was a super eruption. And the worry about super eruptions is that they can briefly and very severely cool the climate, which can create all kinds of environmental catastrophes. And the ash can, like, it can create like feet of ash, you know, it would kill off agriculture. And humans are around back then. And so it's the only super eruption that humans have been around for. So that shows you how infrequent they are. You know, mm-hmm. Humans have been around for 400,000 years, give or take, modern humans. So in fact, there's only been one. Shows you how little you should worry about it day to day. Anyway, there was this theory for a while that this eruption was so epic and awful that basically it almost wiped out humanity.
Even though people thought that this supervolcano had destroyed human civilization, the idea was eventually disproved when archaeologists found artifacts made by humans before and after the explosion in layers of ash in India.
They just found the same artifacts right above the ash, exactly the same, made by the same people. And when they actually worked out who built these artifacts, it was Homo sapiens, so it was us. So 75,000 years ago, before we had any technology, before we had any scientific understanding of volcanoes in any way, humanity did just fine when there was a super volcanic eruption. So the idea of a super volcano ending the world is just myth, really. It's just like, I think volcanoes have a bad PR problem.
Another lesser known type of volcano that Robin enjoys learning about are the volcanoes that exist on other planets. Earth isn't the only place where volcanoes erupt, and scientists are learning incredible things about how volcanoes work on other planets in our solar system. For example, Mars doesn't really have active volcanoes now, but billions of years ago, volcanoes were a big deal on the red planet.
Mars is kind of an almost volcanically dead world now. It's very tiny, so it lost all the heat it had inside. So without that heat, it can't really make any more volcanoes. But back in the day, a couple of billion years ago, it used to erupt lava floods so frequently that it, you know, it could bury the United Kingdom in a couple of weeks. And, you know, it was just very good at making lava. And the difference between Mars and Earth is, Earth has tectonic plates, you know, these sort of jigsaw pieces that keep moving on the surface of the world. So when you have these plumes of super hot material that come up from the Earth's like molten heart and just act like a blowtorch on the surface, the tectonic plate keeps moving. So you get chains of volcanoes. On Mars, for some reason, it never had plate tectonics. It just has one big shell. So when it has these plumes coming up, it just keeps acting as a blowtorch at that exact same point. It just keeps melting things and melting things. On Earth, the biggest volcano we have is about 2,000 square miles at its base. Pretty big. That's pretty big. You could squash any city you like with that. That pales in comparison to something called Tharsis. Tharsis is like a giant magmatic volcanic pimple on the side of Mars, and it's three times the size of America, and it grew so big so quickly that it tipped Mars over. I think it's my favorite thing to tell people, like, a volcano got so big the planet tipped over, which is like in New York and suddenly moving to the North Pole, the Sahara Desert suddenly moving to, you know, Paris. It's an insane thing. Normally it takes planets crashing into planets to tip planets over. Mars just tipped itself over because it got a bit carried away.
That's crazy. While Mars's volcanoes are no longer active today, another planet, Venus, has plenty of active volcanoes. But they make Venus a very unpleasant place to live.
Venus and Earth should be sisters because they're made of the same stuff. They're right next to each other. They formed pretty much at the same time. So it's pretty weird that Earth is kind of paradisical, whereas Venus is the worst place you could possibly imagine. If someone was having a bad day, if there was an all-creating deity who was having a horrible day, it was like a Thursday, and they had to make a planet, and they were in a bad mood, Venus is the planet they would make. If you walked across the surface of Venus, you'd be simultaneously crushed, eaten alive by acid, if you flew slightly high enough, and you'd burst into flames and melt. It's the worst place. It's like being in an oven a mile underwater. So that's why people call it Earth's evil twin. It's like Earth, where something went horribly wrong. Someone like left the oven on for too long and everything burned down.
Today, scientists think that Venus might be so hot and unpleasant because of a string of supervolcano explosions billions of years ago.
The leading theory now is that Venus was an ocean world like Earth, and perhaps for a short period of time, but perhaps for billions of years, maybe not that long ago, Venus used to have the equivalent of the Pacific Ocean there. Maybe it was full of life, but we don't know because somehow the whole surface turned into a melted apocalypse. And the main idea is, on Earth, every now and then in its history, you get these epic eruptions. And by epic, I mean they take 2 million years to kind of complete. On Venus, there have been maybe several of these at the same time, and that just caused the planet's climate to go so badly wrong with all this carbon dioxide and all this water vapor that the planet then couldn't adjust its thermostat back. It just lost control. And that's why it's called Earth's evil twin, really, because people don't know what's normal. Is Earth normal or is Venus normal? Should most planets our size turn into a volcanic hellscape or should they be like Earth? So when you hear in the news, oh, they found an Earth-like planet orbiting another star, they could be saying Venus-like planet. They don't know yet if it's more like Earth or more like Venus. So that's why they're sending so many missions to Venus now, because they want to know, is Venus unlucky or is Earth lucky? And I think that's the most fascinating question in all of planetary science at the moment.
Wow, that's incredible. It's amazing that an interest in volcanoes can take your curiosity all over the world, deep into the ocean, and even to other planets. Volcanoes are one of the most powerful and fascinating parts of our natural world, and Robin's enthusiasm reminds us that there's always more to discover. There's so much wonder in the epic power of volcanoes, and the next time you see a mountain, a rocky landscape, or even a picture of Earth from space, take a moment to imagine the incredible forces that have shaped our planet over millions of years. You never know where a single spark of curiosity might lead.
Quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.